Got some fun stuff tonight. Good stuff. Tonight's topic is single malt. Single malt scotch.
Single malt.
We're going to your place after sure. I spoke to your wife already. Alana's prepared the cups and the different tasters and everything.
Downstairs in the alarm
room. Yeah. Yeah. There's a party down there. Okay, so we'll hit the road running. A lot of issues to talk about. There are many papers out there on single malt scotch. I didn't think any of them were really condensable to, you know, a 50-minute talk on the issue. There's a fellow in Chicago, Rabbi Akiva Newhaus, I don't know if anyone's heard of him, or he recently put out his own paper on single malt scotch. And I like the way he broke up the categories, I'll call it. So I did use his categories, but I tried to stay with the mainstream post-skim. Not go into all kinds of little footnote type of post-skim and sock. To try and stay normative, mainstream, and simple. And of course, we're only talking about scotch that has a question of being either stored towards its end or matured completely in a sherry cask. There's two methods. Either the scotch fully matures in a sherry cask. By the way, sherry is wine. Is where you get your kosher issues, because it's non-kosher wine. But the other method of making the sherry scotch is called a finish. You see on the bottle, sherry finish. So finish is the last 6 months to 2 years of scotch that's in the barrel. So, and not the entire maturation. Okay, obviously the first type is more superior, more premium, because the entire maturation was in the sherry barrels. The sherry finish, it's still a halachic issue, because even though it's there for 6 months to 2 years, the same issues will apply. Okay.
What's the translation of sherry? That's a particular type of wine, or that means it's a particular type of cask?
Sherry's a type of wine, I think. I think it's like, there's brandy wine and sherry wine, maybe? I don't know, you know this stuff? I don't know. I know we're dealing with Yain Nesech and Stam Yenam.
All scotch is stored in sherry casks.
All scotch? No, it has to say on the bottle. Okay, because it costs more money. So they want you to know it's in a sherry cask. That's an interesting point you brought up. It's something that's going to be, you know, it's not hidden. You don't have to worry about it. If it's not on the bottle, it likely was not in a sherry cask. Because they want you to buy it because, right, it's an advantage to be in a sherry cask. So if it has been, it will be on the bottle. Okay?
By sherry cask, you mean that the cask, the barrel was used in previous use, so wine.
Correct. Okay? So a few of the halachic issues involved. One is Yai Nesech and Stam Yenam. Now, Yai Nesech is Aser Midoiraisa. It's wine that a Gentile used in idol worship. That wine is forbidden. There's a new type of thing called Stam Yenam. Stam, touched by a non-Jew, used by a non-Jew, but not necessarily a non-Jew that worships idols. And it seems from the Ramah, by the way, that all our wines say Stam Yenam. Of course, if you're walking around Far East and they have all kinds of crazy religions and cults, so they can be more choishish. But most of the wines of the Western world have a din Stam Yenam and not Yai Nesef, which is very interesting for itself. And we can get into that one day, is what is Christianity? Is it Avodah Zarah? Right? Is it polytheistic or monotheistic? Okay? But we're going to go that all wines are Stam Yenam and not Yai Nesach. Still, it's treif and has to be kosher, obviously. Number two.
Christians do Nesach today, too.
I'm sorry?
Christians do Nesach in their
altars. Right. Especially the Catholics. Especially the Catholics. Yes, absolutely. The question is out of Avodah Zarah. It's a famous question, right? It's rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. Of course, they use it. The blood, you know, and they use the bread and they use the wine. One is the blood and one is the body. But the question is, that Avodah Zarah? It's you know, it's terrible if a Jew goes and does such a thing, obviously. But is it Avodah Zarah? Okay. Second issue, Kavush Kmevushal. This is a famous Yoredea concept that says that once something has soaked for 24 hours, it absorbs whatever it's soaked. Meaning, if you have a pot and you pour pork brine into a pot, and the pork brine, the pork soup sits in the pot for 24 hours, the pot is treif, even if it's cold, right? No heat whatsoever. The pot is treif by virtue of kavush kemevushal. Kavush means soaking, mevushal means cooking. Soaking is like cooking in halacha. So if you take pork soup and you sit in a pot for 2 hours or 5 hours or 10 hours, your pot does not lose its kosher status. You empty out
as
the pork.
As long as it's cold.
As long as it's cold. You empty out the pork soup. You clean out your pot with some soap and water, your pot remains kosher, okay? But once you've hit 24 hours, it's kavush. 24 hours is considered soaked. and therefore your pot is treif, because kavush kemivushal. Once it was cooked, once it was soaked, it's as if it was cooked. Okay. Now.
Same applies when we're talking about paste coming out of the pot.
This thing almost got right, but we're getting there. Okay. Here's a sheet for you. Okay, so let's start with your Dea. Kuf Lamed Zayin is where most of this stuff is to be found. And the Shulchan Aruch says like this. If wine is stored in a barrel that was previously used for Yayin Nesach, we're talking about Dairais over here, Yayin Nesach. This is a Shulchan Aruch now. The Shulchan Aruch says, if wine is stored in a barrel that was previously used for Yayin Nesach, the wine becomes forbidden unless there's shishim, 60 parts against the kosher wine. However, the Shulchan Aruch says,
hence the
treifa barrel. What? The iser that's in the, yeah.
Okay, you eat 60 parts in the kosher wine, can I get the treifa?
However, the Shulchan Aruch says, if any other liquid was stored in these barrels previously used for Yayin Nesach, it's permissible, it's permitted. No bittul needed. Why? Because other liquids ruin the taste of any wine remaining in the barrel. Again, the Shulchan Aruch says, if
wine in the barrel ruins the taste of the liquid, not that the liquid
is the
taste of the wine. Maybe that too. But the point is that the barrel puts into
other liquids. They discomplement each other, and therefore any wine remaining is pogum, the other liquids. So again, if you have wine, kosher wine, in barrels previously stored for Yayin Nesach, you need 60 against the kosher wine. However, any other liquid doesn't need 60, doesn't need shishim, and it's permitted to be drunk. So now, based on this, right? Based on this, it seems to slam dunk. Slam dunk. Shulchan Aruch says, wine needs 60. All other liquids doesn't need 60. All other liquids remain kosher. So we should have a slam dunk case, because wine, scotch is not wine. It's all other liquids. Right? So it should be open book, closed book. But it's not that simple, obviously. Why? Because the question is, the reason Shulchan Aruch said other liquids don't need 60 is because in combination with the wine, the taste is ruined. But it's scotch. The scotch, although it's other liquids, does it indeed cause the taste of the wine to be ruined or not? It would seem not, because you want the taste of the wine in the scotch. The scotch is mishabeach. The taste of the wine is mishabeach the scotch. Okay?
In fact, that's the entire reason that the company is doing it.
Exactly. They want the scotch in the wine barrel because they want the taste of the wine. It's beneficial to the scotch. So we got a problem over here. The Shulchan Aruch said all of the liquids don't need 60. Only wine needs 60. But if you have a case that clearly, even with other liquids, causes the wine to be wanted, if wine causes a better taste, we got a problem over here. So the question is, what is scotch? Does it have a din of wine? Does it have a din of other liquids? So you have over here on your sheet, the next source, know the Behuda. Okay, Nun Ches, the Noda Behuda says that scotch has a din of all other liquids. Indeed, it has a din of all other liquids, and therefore it's all mutter. There's another Noda Behuda, I think it's in Tshuva Samech Vav or Samech Zayin, where he says he's not sure. He kind of takes it back. In Nun Ches, he says it's all other liquids, not to worry. In Samech Zayin, he says, wait a second, I'm not sure. But the Magen Avraham says very clearly that the scotch and the wine complement each other, they enhance each other. So the Shulchan Aruch's entire heter of the wine making the contents of other liquids pogum simply can't apply. It's not logical. It's hiding your face from reality. Because even though the Shulchan Aruch did use the words other liquids, we know why he said other liquids. Because other liquids are pogum the wine, and the wine is pogum the liquids. But here you have a reality that even though it's other liquids, there's no pogum taking place. There's no bad taste being transferred. It's a beneficial taste being transferred. So according to Magen Avraham, he says, no, it has a din of wine, and you need 60. Pure sherry wine is treif. Sherry wine is a treif product.
Do people drink sherry wine? They store the sherry wine in
scotch barrel. Wait, the sherry wine... the casks are created for sherry wine. After sherry wine is produced, you throw the cask in the garbage. The Scotch dealers say, wait a second, don't throw it in the garbage, give it to us, we'll use it.
No, but they don't add Scotch to the sherry wine barrels, which means that the Scotch doesn't make the sherry wine. It will make it worse. So isn't that okay?
I
the Scotch
follow.
Will make the sherry wine the situation not taste good.
Yeah.
You don't understand the situation. They're putting the Scotch inside the sherry cask in order that the Scotch absorb the sherry wine from the water has to improve the Scotch.
Exactly.
So the Mugen of Rum is right.
He's asking if the reverse is the
Mugen of Rum says that the wine that's in the barrel.
It can't be that the Scotch makes the wine better.
If you use the Scotch
in the whole point, the sherry is the part that's straight.
Correct.
The Scotch's not making the sherry taste better. It's, if anything,
it's the sherry that's making the Scotch taste better.
The sherry's making the Scotch taste better. If a forbidden substance makes the kosher substance taste bad, the kosher substance remains kosher. If the forbidden substance is making the kosher substance taste even better, then the kosher substance becomes forbidden. So here you have a case of the forbidden substance of sherry making the kosher substance of Scotch better. Hence, your trace ingredient is improving the kosher product. That's a problem.
Except there's not a yannis.
It's tam yenam. We're going to get there. So the magena, it's wine produced by a non-Jew. Automatically trace.
You
probably could, but this is okay. Now, since, as we said, the Scotch distillers want the sherry casks and they want the sherry taste, it seems that Magen Avram is right. Magen Avram says no. The sherry wine makes the Scotch, the Yain Saraf, taste better. And indeed, that's the Matthias, because all the Scotch distillers want the sherry casks for the taste. So it seems that Magen Avram is right. The sherry taste improves the Scotch. Okay? So we got a problem over here. We're going to say the Magen Avram's right. That to say he's right. Because even the Noida Behuda is Choyzer, in a later Tshuva that he's not sure, Magen Avram says it does make the Scotch taste better, and indeed, that's the, you know, Minhag HaMedina, Minhag HaMakom, is that they want the Scotch barrels, they want the sherry taste, it makes the Scotch better, that's the way things work. The Magen Avram is right. Hence, you got a problem. Because the non-kosher substance made the kosher substance taste better. We need bittul now. Right? There's only two ways that a kosher product can remain kosher when a non-kosher product is added. Two ways. One, if it's pogim, or two, if there's shishim. Okay? If it's pogim, any amount, versus any amount. If it makes the kosher product pogum, the kosher product remains kosher. Or it has to be nullified, 60 against the forbidden piece. Here we got a problem because we have to find nullification because it was not pogum. So now we need bittul. So here's the question, it is megalgel. So now that we know we need bittul against the sherry casks, do we need bittul against the klipa, the most outer, the most shallow depth of the cask? Or do we need bittul against the entire width of the cask walls? The entire volume of the cask walls. We definitely need bittul over here. But how much bittul do we need? Okay? Right? So generally, there's a law in Shulchan Aruch that when you cook something in a treif pot, you cook treif in a kosher pot, Shulchan Aruch says you have to assume that the entire volume of the walls have become treif. So if you take a pork soup and you cook it up in your kosher fleishik pot, after you pour out the pork soup, you have to assume that the walls are saturated and filled through and through with the pork soup. Okay, therefore, if you go now and cook kosher chicken soup in this pot that was just used for the pork soup, you need shishim against the entire volume of the walls. Not klipa, not the most shallow depth, but the entire volume. That's by Bishul. Is kabush the same? So we have a machlokes here, Shach and Taz. Okay, Hilchos Tairuvis. And the Shach says very clearly, the Shach says like this, that kavush is mamash kemevushal. Just like in mevushal, in bishul, when you cook the pork soup into the walls of the pot, the entire volume of the walls of the pot are saturated with treif, and you 60 against the entire wall, so too with a situation of kavush, of soaking, you will need 60 against the entire volume of the walls. Okay? The Taz says no. The Taz says, as a general rule, kavush is not as strict as bishul. We do say kavush k'mevushal, the Taz says, but not for everything. So the purpose, for the purpose of trafing up the walls of the vessel, the Taz says klipa's enough. Okay? In a regular situation of kavush. But we have a different situation of kavush because we have kavush and yayin nesech. And kavush and yayin nesech might not be the same as regular kavush. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? So Shulchan Aruch says, get this, only klipa's needed. Right? In Kuf Lamed Hey, you have over there, in Yoredea, he says only klipa's needed. I'm sorry? Like the Taz, correct. Correct. But the Shach says, no, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch means. Get ready for this. The Shach explains that when the Shulchan Aruch says that only klipa's needed, that's only the case if you're not sure if the forbidden product soaked for 24 hours or more. But the Shach says that even the Shulchan Aruch would agree that if you are sure that the product soaked, the treif product, the treif liquid soaked for more than 24 hours, you will need against the entire vessel, not just the klipa. Okay, this is a very radical interpretation of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says klipa is enough. Shach says, no, that's not what he means. What he means is klipa is enough if you're not sure it's soaked 24 hours. But if you're sure it's soaked 24 hours, you need against the entire wall. Okay? Fine. So the Chacham Tzvi says like this, you can be mekel. Like you said, it's only drabanon. We're not dealing with yayin nesach anymore. It's not the real thing. It's stam yayinam. It's just, you know, chalav akum. Stam chalav, right? We have chalav akum, we have stam chalav. Chalav stam, bless you. Okay? So chalav stam is not as bad as chalav akum. Everyone agrees that chalav akum is forbidden. But chalav stam, many Bnei Torah, you know, God-fearing Jews drink chalav stam. So stam yayinam isn't that yet, but it's still not the same as yayin nesach. It's not as strict. So the Chacham Tzvi says, in a situation of stam yeinam, you could be mekel and only require klipa against the barrel, and not require the entire volume of the walls of the barrel. Okay? And finally, in this issue, we have the Chachmas Adam, and he says like this. He says, really, you do need bittul against the entire thickness of the walls. You can't play games, he says. You can't play games. Okay, but he wants to say it's drabanan. We say that in kavush, it soaks up the entire walls. That's what the normative halacha seems to accept. Okay? Therefore, you need against the entire thickness of the walls. However, maybe the tzarech gadol, you know, like a kiddush club or something, the tzarech gadol, he says, you can be making for a klipa. The tzarech gadol. What's the tzarech gadol? I'm not sure. But that's what he says. Chacham Tzvi says that, really, the Chacham Tzvi says, it absorbs the entire vessel, so a gadol can make it with a klipa. Okay? Now, what's halacha? Do you need klipa, or do you need the volume of the barrel? Now, normative halacha usually goes with the shach and the chachma sadam. Right, that's not a secret. That's the way things usually work. Okay? So it seems that we need bittul against the entire volume of the barrels. That's correct. We're going to get to that. It's on the program. Okay, so now we've established that we need bittul against the entire volume of the walls. But we have a new concept over here. Only applies to wine. Do we need 60 against the treif product, or only 6? There's a concept with wine called bittul b'sheish. Usually we say bittul b'shishim with all other non-kosher products. You need 60 amounts, 60 parts of treif to kosher. But with wine, there's a certain type of leniency that sometimes 6 is enough. 6 parts non-kosher wine to kosher product, yeah, is enough.
6 parts kosher to 1 part non-kosher
is enough. Right. So when does this apply? Is it 6 or is it 60? So the Shulchan Aruch says that when yayin nesach is mixed with water, you need only 6.
Yeah, it's stam yayin.
You're right. Yes, 100%. I'm sorry. Yes, figure of speech, slip of the tongue. Stam yeinam, which is the Rabbanan, okay, is 6 is enough. That's what he says. When mixed with water.
Who says that?
The Shulchan Aruch. Okay, in Kuf Lamed Aleph.
He's talking when it's mixed with water.
Water. Right. Exactly. Right. So the Shach says, again, the Shach is a real opponent of the single malt, the whole train of thought. He says, wait a second. The Shach says like this. That's only 6, is only if it's mixed with water. But with all other liquids, you need shishim. The Shach says a Shulchan Aruch's leniency of 6 is only with water. Okay? But with all other products, including scotch, you need a full 60. Okay? So is scotch water or is scotch other liquids? Again, the other liquids category. Is scotch water or other liquids? So you have over here, I'm going to tell you a story with the Ramah. And the Ramah in your day, I said like this. The Ramah says that you're not allowed to buy apple wine from a goy. Why are you allowed to buy apple wine from a goy, which is essentially a kosher product? Because the Ramah says that the goyim add wine to the apple wine. Treif wine to the apple wine. Why? Because apple wine is expensive. And treif wine is less expensive. So the goyim add their treif wine into the apple wine. So Ramah says you're only allowed to buy the apple wine if you're sure that there's 60 against the non-kosher wine that the goyim add. Okay? 60. So the Taz asked on the Ramah, what are you talking about? Why being so machmer? Why are you saying 60? It seems for the Shulchan Aruch 6 would be enough. Because the Taz holds, by the way, the Taz holds, this is a big Kiddush, that the Shulchan Aruch holds, that's not just water, it's all other liquids. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. The Taz says the Shulchan Aruch means that. So the Taz is saying on the Ramah, why are you saying that you need 60 against the apple wine? 6 should be enough, because the Shulchan Aruch holds and all other liquids, 6 is enough. Okay? So you have over here Nekudas HaKesef. And Nekudas HaKesef is also on the same page on the Shulchan Aruch. And he defends Ramah. And he says like this, Taz has no right to contradict the Ramah, because normative halach is like the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't clearly say that 6 applies to other liquids, only water. Okay? We could talk about an interesting issue over here. Get this, let me ask you a question. Okay, wake everyone up for a second, because we're going off topic for... Okay, if you have wine, if I take a glass of kosher wine and a glass of kosher water, and I mix it, 51 parts wine and 49 parts water, what bracha do I make on that drink?
51 parts wine?
Yeah, make a gafen. Why, when you're talking about kashrus and bittul, the halacha by brachos is different. By brachos, it goes by rov. If I have 51 parts water and 49 parts wine, you make shakal on that drink. Okay? According to Ramah, for sure. It's in Simon Reish Bet, Hilchos Brachos. But over here, we're fighting over 6 and 60, 6 and 60. We just seen Hilchos Brachos that once you have majority, the other item is batel. So the answer is, I mean, this is like a factoid for fun over here, is that by Hilchos Brachos, it goes by Roiv, by Iker and Tofel. But by Treifus, it doesn't go by Iker and Tofel, it goes by other concepts as well. Okay. But going back to the Kuzla Kesef, he says, no. When the Shulchan Aruch said you need 6, it's only for water. But really, for other things, you need 60. You need 60. Yeah? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Shach and Taz at the same time.
Yes, I know.
Taz was much older than Shach.
Right.
Shach didn't see the Taz when he wrote Shach. After he wrote the Shach, he saw the Taz that he wrote in the Kudus HaKesef on the Taz. The Kudus HaKesef is always responding to the Taz.
I never realized that.
And then you open the first page of Shach.
Yeah, yeah, they'll say the same thing.
Taz wrote a response to the Nikudas HaKesef called the...
What is that?
Daf Achrei?
Don't know.
Daf Achrei. And the Shach wrote back on the Daf Achrei, which is also included in the Nikudas HaKesef.
Yeah? I do something every day. That's why he's following this. I want to punch myself in the face now. He's following his own Jesus. Yeah! I thought it was in prison. Okay. Okay, so let's say we need bittul against shishim. Especially if you're Ashkenazi, you follow the Ramah, right? The Shach, and Kudus HaKesef, we need 60. So let's say we're going to get 60. Now the question is, now we have a new cycle of questions, because not all non-kosher products qualify for bittul. There are some things, there could be one part treif and 100 parts kosher, and it still remains treif. Not every non-kosher item qualifies for bittul. So now, we figure we need 60, and we need 60 against the walls of the barrel. I'm sorry?
Which won't happen.
Okay, so...
Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so moving right along. Now, there's several different types of non-kosher products that are not subject to bittul bichlal.
Says that mathematically, almost every keli is
Now, we got a problem over here. What's the first problem? Because one of the exceptions to bittul is something called a vida l'taima. Something added for its taste cannot become bittul. Okay? So where does this come from? It comes from the Ramah. The Ramah says, it takes an example, spices. When you put forbidden spices into a food, the food remains treif. No matter what the ratio is. Because the taste of the spices, or the spices are meant to give taste. Avida l'taima. They're meant to give taste. And indeed the taste is detected. And therefore anything added for taste cannot be bottled, especially if the taste is detected. Okay? Sherry casks. They want you to detect the taste. That's why it says sherry casks. Sherry finish. They want you to detect the taste. Okay? But of course,
even if you would have shishim, it wouldn't be good enough.
Correct. According, if you hold, it's a problem with vida l'taima.
Scotches are in the garbage.
Right. But what's the flip side of vida l'taima? So they don't want the taste of the sherry wine. Here's the flip side. They want the new taste that's created with sherry flavor from the walls and the scotch batch, the scotch liquid, the drink. They don't want the sherry taste. They want the new taste that is created by mixing these two things. That's the salvation for Avida L'taima. Okay? Yeah? Rav Moshe has a big chiddush. Rav Moshe holds that even if 60 might be needed, but once wine is batel b'sheish in 6, has a din of something called kiyuha. Kiyuha is translated as acid. Poison! Rav Moshe says that once something is batel, once wine is batel in 6, even though you really might need 60 to fully permit the item to be consumed, but once you have 6, the wine has a din of kiyuha, acid, and acid is not subject to the parameters of vida l'taima.
What does that
mean? It doesn't have a din of wine. To make it the most simple, it doesn't have a din of wine. It's not wine anymore. He calls it kiyuha. But what it means essentially, it doesn't have a din of wine anymore. So even though it might be giving taste, but since it's batel b'sheish, once you've acquired sheish, you've achieved that. Therefore, even if you still detect the taste, it doesn't have a din of wine. Okay? So that Rav Moshe saves the Avida l'taima thing, because it is batel b'sheish. Okay, yes, he's making a shuva and seeing malt scotches. But you brought up, once you brought this up now, I'll just make a commentary. Footnote commentary. Those who drink single malt scotch, the sherry cask scotch, you can't run to Rav Moshe as your posek who's matzert. Because although he is a big mekel, Rav Moshe, you gotta hear this, Binyamin, this is the punchline. Rav Moshe's entire tshuva, and people don't realize this, Rav Moshe, but get this, I'm gonna change your life now forever. I'm gonna change all your friends' lives. But if you want to drink sherry cask scotch, you can't claim Rav Moshe. Because Rav Moshe was talking about a scotch where wine was added. Not the barrel issue, although many points of tshuva do apply to the barrel issue. Many points of his tshuva do apply to the sherry cask single malt scotch that we have today. But Rav Moshe's tshuva as a whole is not talking about these scotches. The Metzius is not there.
He himself says he's mocking
or not. People say they saw him drink. But my point is, right, in private he wouldn't drink it. But the scotch that Rav Moshe was talking about is not the scotch we have today. Because in our scotch, they never add sherry wine straight. It's always taken from the walls of the barrel. So this is like a huge wow.
That's still strange. It seems like a big barrel.
No, because as we said, there's no barrel with 60 against its contents. So it might be a bigger, it's more machmer than Rav Moshe's tshuva. So the people who lean to Rav Moshe, they've got a problem because Moshe is just not dealing with that. Right? Moshe is dealing with apples, you're dealing with bananas. You can't, you know, it's just not going to fit. But anyways, moving right along, the next problem with bittul. I'm sorry? So is bittul.
Yeah,
and Moshe, I have to look again. No, because no, there could be a sheish. They have the sheish salvation, perhaps. Okay? But I didn't use Rav Moshe's tshuva for this evening too much. I really didn't take from it, because it's not dealing with our case. Not dealing with our case. Okay? Next point. next point. Guys, stop fighting about the scotch now. You gotta stop fighting now. You gotta stop fighting. We'll deal with this later. The next point is Ikaro Bekach. There's a halacha concept that's called Ikaro Bekach. Okay? Any ingredient which is essential, it's similar to Avidah Taima, okay, but it's not the same. Any ingredient which is essential for the final product cannot become batel. That's Shulchan Aruch. Okay? The Noda Yehuda comes along and says, no, we don't accept that Shulchan Aruch that says if ingredient is essential, it's never batel, because the Noda Yehuda says, and it's true, the Shulchan Aruch got that from the Rashba. And that Rashba, many Rishonim argue on, and if you can't bring it to Halacha. Okay? Comes along the Igros Moshe over there. I brought this Igros Moshe because it is applicable to Ikaro Bekach. Ikaro Bekach, because in Moshe Scotch it would apply as well, because what they added, the sherry wine that they literally added, was Ikaro Bekach. Moshe said, there's not a problem. Why? Because he says, you can rely on the Noda Yehuda, but he says, a Baal Nefesh would not. A Baal Nefesh would be Choshesh for the Shulchan Aruch and the Rashba. So the Moshe holds the Noda Yehuda is Be'etzim, right? So the Baal Nefesh cannot bypass the Rashba and bypass the Halacha as it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Fine. Next problem. Chazusa. Coloring. Right? The sherry gives a good coloring. So the Ramah says in Kuf Beis that if the forbidden item adds color to a mixture and the color could be seen, it's not nullified. Okay? One of the big things, Rabbi Isai, with the sherry casks is that it has to add color. It adds a color. That's another reason they want not just a taste, they want the color. They'll tell you that. It says that on the bottles. Color. Big thing. Big word in Scotch. Aroma, color, all these things. Okay? Not bottle. The Minchas Yitzchak says like this. This is a big chiddush. The only salvation the Chazusa has is the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak says when Chazal astered Chazusa, when Chazal astered a product that gives color, that's only for Srim Daraisa. For Srim Darabana, like Stam Yenam, nah, no problem. It's bottle. I forget. I brought the punchlines. I didn't go through all the lumps.
This chew is about single malt scotch?
Yes, yes. Got several chews. I think on the whole, I think, the Fiani Asdaiti, he would be asked what we have today. The scotch we have today, he would be asked.
He was talking about Ramosha scotch?
I believe so. But he did, he physically went to the scotch plants. He writes, I went to scotch plants, I saw what they're doing. That's like, wow, like, you know, really. That's how you pass again. You go see what's set up.
Yeah. It's not a new creation.
It's over 20 years old. Chew was over 20 years old. But there's some, maybe the Tariq Iyun. But Rav Moshe's scotch in the 80s, in the late 70s, early 80s, was a scotch of adding wine, and we just don't see that anymore. So you're right, when did it change, and what exactly scotch did Minchas Yitzchak see and taste? I'm not sure.
A good bottle of scotch since
right, 12, exactly, right. But Rav Moshe is clearly says he's dealing with the scotch where the sherry is added. Okay, so Chazusa, we have the Ramah, which says it's Aser. The Minchas Yitzchak says you can get around that because it's Drabana. Okay, next problem. Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila, famous halacha concept. You're not allowed to add a treif ingredient. You're not allowed to knowingly add a treif ingredient to a kosher product, even if it's going to be batel. Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chatchila. Okay? And that applies to the Rabbanans, Rabbi Sai. That applies to Rabbanans. Even if something's only aser rabbinically, you're still not allowed to knowingly add it into a kosher mixture, even if you know it's going to be batel. Okay? And not only is it forbidden to do it, it's forbidden for he who it was done for. Ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila is forbidden for the person who did it. He can never consume that product. And it's forbidden for the person for whom it was done for. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger on the page over there says it applies in business as well. That when the company makes their scotch, every customer has a din of it was done for him. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says. Okay? But the Igros Moshe says, oh, let's go to the Taz first, sorry, I forgot the Taz. And the Taz is more Mako, and Taz says, if you don't have specific customers in mind, it doesn't apply to you. Rabbi Kiva Eger says it does. The Taz says, no, it's only if you have specific customers. So comes along with Moshe Feinstein, and he says like this, why im vatn isser l'chatchila is not a big problem? Because the guy doing it is not Jewish. He does not violate anything by doing this. It's not Ivrei Min HaChai, right? He's not violating anything by making this mixture. And a big question in the Igros Moshe is that he brings the Shitas, including in the Rambam, that you're allowed to be Mabatel Yisrael HaTchila and Nisud Rabbanon. We don't pass him like that at all, but he brings it Snif LaHakel. Okay? So obviously he holds like the Taz, that really if you don't have specific customers in mind, and it's Rabbanon. And some say you're allowed anyways HaTchila, a Jew is HaTchila allowed to put Nisud Rabbanon into a kosher product knowingly. So Rav Moshe says you can get around Ein Mabatlin Isra L'Chatchila. Okay. Here's a Minchas Yitzchak. This is a big wow. So a Minchas Yitzchak says also it's not a problem of Ein Mabatlin Isra L'Chatchila. Why not? So he says like this. I don't know of any other source other than this. He says, why were Chazal Goyzer? Why did Chazal forbid you to add forbidden product, even if it's going to be nullified? Why did Chazal put a thing Ein Mabatlin Isra L'Chatchila? So as Minchas Yitzchak explains, the reason they forbade it, the reason it's forbidden, is because we were worried that you might accidentally put in more than 1/60th worth, and then you'll end up eating treif. Again, the Minchas Yitzchak says that the whole reason that Chazal asserted Bitul Isra L'Chatchila is because they were worried that if they allow you to do it, right, what's 60? 1.2 something percent or 2.2%, whatever it is. They were worried that you might miss. You might, you know, another cook will come around and spoil the broth. Right, it's less than 2%, 1.68 or something, whatever the math is. But the Chazal were worried that if they let you do Bitul Isra L'Chatchila, you might accidentally add more than the permitted amount. And you'll come out with a treif product. Here, the Scotch people are at the rabba. They're going to make sure not to put in more. There's no chashash they're going to put in more. Okay? Because it'll ruin the taste. It won't give the taste that they want. Okay. Do the sherry casks contain 60 against the wall? The answer is no. Why? This is a couple of rough notes. Casks are generally 500 liters. Okay? Which means if the casks are 500 liters, the walls cannot hold more than 83 liters, which is 16 and some percent. Okay? But the problem is the barrels hold up to 20%. Up to 20% of the walls of the barrels can be saturated with the content. So you got a serious problem over here. Therefore, in order to permit, in conclusion, so we'll get to the, you know, the screaming or questions and answers or screaming and yelling, whatever it might be. In order to permit sherry, cask, single malt scotch, you have to say there's no problem of Vidal Taima. You have to say there's no problem of Ikar Bekach. You have to say there's no problem of Bitalis with Chatchila. You have to say you only need 6 against the walls and not 60. And you have to say you only need against the klipa. So you've got to go through at least 5 leniencies, a string of a kula upon kula upon kula to matter a single malt scotch. What does this mean? We live in a climate, right, where everyone is bonkers about chumras, right? Chumras in general, and kashrus in particular, right? There are more. You know, I don't want a chalila v'chas to insult anybody or anybody's chumras, anybody's lifestyle. But in a climate where everyone's bonkers over hecherim and mahadrin, how can you drink this stuff? There's nothing mahadrin about it. I mean, let's say there's a basis for it. There's nothing mahadrin whatsoever about it. There's more rikulas to eat gelatin, right? Than to eat this stuff. Right, there's so many more things in the Rabbanut product line that nobody would even think of touching, right? No, we would shun it, right? We don't eat these things, right? But when it comes to the same people, if they're given a glass of expensive single malt scotch, they, you know, a big shako, and it goes right down. What do I learn from this? You know, and before we'll end the formal program on this note, what do I learn from this? You know what I learned from this? I learned from this that we have to make sure that we're not hypocrites. We have to make sure we're not hypocrites. Because there's so many people that are so mahadrin with chumras and kashrus and hechsherim. When it comes to this, no problem. How do you explain this? We have to have more tolerance for other people. So if people are not as machmer, mahadrin, and kashrus as we might be, I know people who are a lot more Mako than me and Kasha's, who won't drink single malt scotch, the sherry casks. Again, I'm putting up food for thought here. I don't have an articulated sermon for this issue. But the idea is that if everyone, if a person, let's speak for myself, if you're going to be mahadrin in all your ways in kashrus, and it comes to single malt scotch, a sherry cask, you're going to drink it, you know, you're not so mahadrin. You're a good Jew, and everything's okay, and Moshe drank this, and this one drank this, and plenty of tzaddikim yirim that do drink it, plenty of tzaddikim yirim that don't drink it. But it's cause for some self-analysis, self-examination, and that maybe it's sobering. That I'm not firmer than the next guy who may not keep the same chumras as I do. You know, maybe the guy who's eating the Rabbanut yogurts that might have gelatin in them, I should respect him a little bit more because he's not relying on five kulas. You know, he's relying on maybe one. Anyway, that's just food for thought. Okay, so that's my take. My take on it is that if you're mahajan and kashrus, you either are or you aren't. A woman is pregnant or she's not pregnant. There's no in between. If you're mahajan and kashrus, you don't drink this stuff. Not that it's trade. It's not mahajan. What does mahajan mean? Mahajan means, and this is fact, regardless of the hechsher in Israel, mahajan means we don't rely on leniencies. That is what mahajan means, whether it's Rabbanut or Eitah Chavedis or Chasam Sofer, whatever it might be. That's what mahajan means at Boisai. We don't rely on leniencies. So it's not mahajan. Yeah. So blends is less of a problem. By the way, now that I said the sermon on the mahajan, now you can save the single malt scotch in the following manner. There's a few ways to save the whole issue. Most scotches, they're diluted with water after they're matured in the barrels. So when they start the bottling process, after things sat in the barrel for 20 years and they fill up the bottle, they add water then. And that water can combine to the 60 needed against the volume of the walls. It's a kula. Okay? And another big kula, and I forget who says this, is in my notes, I forget who says it. But any dietary prohibition, any kashrus prohibition that Chazal put for intermarriage, there's a shita like this, that anything you get for intermarriage is batel beroiv. Not six, not shishim, batel beroiv. There's a big shita like that, a big derech like that in the poskim. Like Bishlakum and the Stam Yenam, whatever it might be. Pasakum. Huh?
Was it the Machaber himself
here? I don't remember.
Comes to Bishlakum?
Batel beroiv?
Which is a problem with Bishlakum, which is not a problem with Bishlakum, I think.
I don't remember. But that's the derech in the poskim. If it's Aser, because of intermarriage, it's batel beroiv. So there you have it. Now the blends are less of a problem because they're probably not sherry casks. And if they weren't sherry casks, each blend can be up to 40 different scotches inside. But you have a Johnny Walker Red or a J&B, there could be up to 40 different scotches over there. So you've accomplished Bittel according to every...
Because maybe each of the 40 has the same problem by itself.
No, because they wouldn't be using sherry cask scotches. It's too expensive. It's not worth it. J&B is cheap stuff, right? It's for the Amcha, right? Shivas, right. It still has a din of Amcha. It's an Amcha drink. So yeah, they blend all kinds of stuff. They're not going to waste it. Amcha drinks with the sherry casks on the Amcha drinks. No, because I'm saying that most of the scotches in the Johnny Red or the Chivas are not sherry cask scotches at all. Scotch is best of a kosher product. It's grain and water, right? It's a kosher product. If a Jew owns it, you got a problem with Yashon, maybe in Chadash. I don't know, the Jews own distilleries? I don't know. But scotch is be'etzem a kosher product. Okay? So now the blends, right, most of the scotches in the blend are not going to be from a sherry cask. So that's the story. So again, there's plenty of tzaddikim, mamash tzaddikim, I'm not using that word lightly. Tzaddikim, holy Jews that drink single malt sherry cask scotch. And there's plenty that don't. But the reality is, next, if you're ever going to criticize somebody for eating something that you wouldn't eat, but you drink sherry cask scotch, that's your Elul Musar, working on yourself to realize that maybe I'm not perfect in any way. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it.